Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and it is Monday, the last week of the school year for most of us here in Petaluma. Hope you all enjoy it and get some relief out of a no-homework week like I'm going to do for my kid. And we have with us today a very special treat by the name of Naomi Teekle, and she does facial recognition. Excuse me, Naomi, did I pronounce your last name correctly? Is it Teekle or Tickle?
Tickle.
Tickle. Okay, it's simpler than I was trying to make it. I was trying to make it very difficult. Can you tell us a little bit about facial recognition?
Yes. So the system I use is all based on the facial structure. And it was actually launched back in the 1930s by a judge who was intrigued whilst he was in court. He noticed a strong correlation between the structure of the face and personality. And he became so intrigued by this that he dropped his work, and he and a team of men, engineers, statisticians, psychologists, salespeople, all got together and researched this on just over 10,000 people and came up with the system that we use today. And it applies across all cultures. So no matter where the person comes from in the world, if you see a certain shape, eye, nose, eyebrow, forehead, it's going to mean exactly the same. Oftentimes people think it's, it must be talking about ethnicity or it's racist. Mm-hmm. And no, there isn't one trait. There isn't one trait that ties or links to any particular culture.
And what got you into wanting to understand the study of faces?
Well, when I was a child, I would look at people's faces, and I was intrigued because I was thinking, well, what makes them different from us? And my mother actually used to allow gypsies to camp on our property and fed them eggs and vegetables and all those goodies. And, and that was the first trait I noticed, is they had these very high pronounced cheekbones. And so I'd look at people and say, okay, they've got the cheekbones, they don't. I wonder what else we see. And I would talk to my parents and say, this and this about people's physical features. And they said, oh, don't be silly, you're imagining it, and stop staring at people. So it was many years later, I was actually studying color for clothing with the Grand Dame of Color, Suzanne Cagle. She launched color analysis in 1943 in Los Altos Hills. And I came across her in the 80s, and everybody's having their colors done, and I wasn't sure about all this because a lot of it didn't seem that accurate. And then I saw Suzanne's work, and I was amazed by the accuracy. So I studied with her. And whilst there, this man came in to have his colors done, and he was a student of face pattern recognition and was looking for volunteers to go down and have their faces read. And I thought, oh, come on now. This is so Californian. I'm not going to fall for this one. Anyway, after hearing my friends talk about their faces being read, I thought, okay, I'm going to go down, test it out. I won't tell a soul what I'm going to do. I was amazed by the accuracy. I could see how this could apply, help so many students today who are in search of a career direction, especially now as they're leaving high school or leaving college, they've got the degree in hand. Now what? They've taken the test. Like I had an email. I worked with somebody this week here actually in Petaluma, and she'd taken all the tests, and none of them came up with careers that really ignited that spark. And it's so important to find a career that you're passionate about. Anyway, so that was the, going back to that, and that was when I decided that I would study this 10 years later, and then took a couple years out testing at the program to see how well it worked and get the feedback from the people I worked with and met with. And then we designed a computerized career program which matches up people's traits to careers that need those abilities. So we can see the traits in the face, a perfectionist, someone who's more detailed, someone who loves information, people who get bored by doing the same old thing day after day. We can recognize that trait right away. We know they can have several career changes. And many of these traits can be seen at the time of birth, like writing, music, someone who's more detailed, wants the bottom line, the perfectionist, the historian, and the artist, and then several other traits. And by the time the child has passed puberty, all of these traits are fully formed. And it is helping so many people throughout the world, helping them find their path in life, you know, seeking a career direction. It's just been an amazing journey and continues to be. But that's the history behind it and how I came across it. And it's just so interesting working with so many people. And it's great for sales and team building. I give talks to AT&T, IBM, National Semiconductor, a lot of the financial groups here in the Bay Area. And they love it. It's just something different. In fact, I gave a talk at Petaluma Work just this last Friday, and they loved it. It was had a great response. So
I'm sure it did. How could it not? if you can go to someone who can tell you positively what work you should be looking for just by looking at your face and your facial structure, what's going to suit you and make you happy, who wouldn't want that?
That's right, and we have special tools that measure the traits. So we measure the slope of the forehead, the width of the face, the position of the ears, and various proportions of the face. And it simply validates what people know about themselves.
Right.
And we often hear people say, I don't know, I can't stand my job, or why am I not more like my friends, or, you know, I always wanted to do something, but I was never got the support at school. Like, I remember working with this man in England. Because I can do this from photographs. He actually called me up one day. He saw an article in the newspaper over there. And I said, look, why don't you let me do your assessment? So I did. And I said, you know, writing, this is your gift. He said, well, that's interesting. He said, because he lived in the coal mining district in England. And he, at age 12, wanted to apply to get into the writing contest.
Mm-hmm.
And his family said, well, who do you think you are? You're not one of them, meaning, you know, the upper class, as they have the class system over there.
Yeah.
And so he was never encouraged to take up his writing. And then he left school at 15, which you can in England, went into a janitor's job, and, you know, he would complain to his fellow associates. They said, you know, Jeff, this is your lot in life. Be happy. You get a paycheck each week. And he thought, you know, but there's more to life than this. There has to be. And he gets married, and his wife couldn't understand him, and eventually ends up divorcing, going to London. He worked out at he was a bouncer outside a pub. And anyway, he found himself almost killing someone one night, and he thought, you know, I have an option here. I can either do something with my life or end up in jail. So anyway, that was his story. And I only talked to him about 2 or 3 years ago. And since I first did his chart, he's now written a number of books and has also produced plays and TV shows.
Wow.
And it was just validated. And we hear this so much. You know, kids grow up, they get this negative input. What do you want to do that for? You'll be no good at it, et cetera, et cetera, both family, friends, teachers, and people they meet with, and it can put their lives on hold for years.
Right. Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm sure a lot of people can. Can this facial pattern reading also help people find an ideal mate or an ideal personality with whom to have a long-term relationship?
Absolutely. I can look at a couple and say, yes, they're compatible. It's just, it's as easy as that. It's not an intuitive reading. I do not do intuition.
Right,
I recognize the patterns. And I remember this man sent me a photograph of somebody he was dating. I said, well, she's a great person, but this is one of the issues that could come up. She may be very controlling. 6 months later, he calls me up. He said, I love her dearly, but you're right. She is very controlling, not willing to do anything about it.
Right.
And so he sends me another photograph. I said, you know what? This is a match. And it was.
Right.
And it's not just having one example. I can see when two people are together, I can see if they're compatible or not. However, if they have a lot of differences, I will say, look, here, like one man came to my workshop, and he said the next day he heard himself, he had the critical trait, he heard himself criticizing his wife. He said he apologized right away. He had not realized how critical he was coming across. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely one of the traits that can wear down relationships. So I say to couples who have this trait, praise people first for what they've done, then point out what needs to be fixed and praise them again. Or simply don't make a comment, because that critical remark can really wear someone down. And it becomes tough to live with. But we have choice. Mm-hmm. Choice supersedes structure. And the more we are aware of how we come across to other people, the better the relationship.
Absolutely. Now, I love that I can refer my clients to you to help them find the perfect work or the perfect person to be with, because very often they come to me looking for this type of answer, and I'm very, very intuitive, and I can give them a big picture rundown, but I can't always give them specifics. So I love that I can give them that big picture rundown and then give them your card, your business card, and say, you know, you really should go to Naomi, because she can look at your face and measure it and measure the fields of your face and tell you exactly what types of work you'd be good at and why.
Yeah, and I remember being in the Santa Rosa parking garage. And I saw this young man, and I thought, now he's got a lot of talent. He should be in film editing. And he's about of age, so I said to him, what are your plans for later on in life? And he said, I said, you're going to college? He said, well, I'm a high school dropout. Who wants me? And so I said to him, well, look, this is what I do, and here's what I'm going to suggest for you. And I said, I think you should take up film editing. And he reached out, catches hold of my hands, and he says, you have just turned my life around. He said he'd always been interested in film editing, but didn't know if he'd be any good at it. And I said, you have a gift. Here's my card. If you need any more help, I'm here for you.
Right.
And so what happens is you see the patterns after a while. Like if you were to go pass a sports field, you know which game is being played, even if they haven't got a uniform on, because you'll find that a lot of the soccer players have short to medium legs, whereas the baseball players have medium to long legs.
Right.
It's a pattern, you see. I gave a talk at the to over 200 orthodontists at their conference, and I had 200 beady eyes looking at me. It felt really strange. Close set eyes, good with detail. And so you see that close with detail in accountants, in teachers, in psychologists, and anywhere where they special, say, in the medical field. Whereas your football or soccer players will have wide set eyes. They look at the bigger picture.
Right. They have to be able to see the entire playing field and know who's where.
Exactly.
They have to be able to pick their own players on their own team out of a crowd of many players.
That's right. And I remember giving a workshop at a college over on the East Coast, and it was to the staff of the college, actually university. And anyway, the office staff came, but not the people who did the hiring. And when the staff went back into the office the next week, they saw the new hire, and they all looked at each other and said, I wonder how long she's going to last. 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. She wasn't a detailed person, and wasn't. They felt she didn't match the job, which is very sad, because, you know, here's this woman, she would have gone through the pain of being fired or let go of, and wasted the university money. But it's, you hear that a lot today, people hiring people, and then next week, next time, they're fired. But if they know how to work with the people and interact with them better, it creates a much better team. They understand each other. Instead of reacting, we come from understanding.
Absolutely. I went through a very long period of working for temporary services, and it was kind of boring work. I got shuffled around a lot. They tried to turn me into a secretarial type of person, and I wasn't detail-oriented enough, and it was very boring and couldn't quite get anything right. And so they put me in situations where I was collating papers or shrink wrapping things, and that was very, I felt that that was very menial, and you know, I don't mind menial work, but it was also very boring. And finally, I, you know, came to realize after a tip from a friend that I should be giving massage. But it took me a while to get to that point where I discovered that I should be giving massage.
Yeah, and it you know, some people never discover that. No, what is it am I supposed to do? And this is more of a science. It's more of an empirical science.
Uh-huh.
And
it doesn't mean to say
if someone hasn't got a certain trait that they wouldn't be hired. We do look at their background and experience because that mm-hmm. is significant. But it just provides another piece of the puzzle.
Can you tell me anything about the facial structure of people in these nurturing types of fields and alternative healthcare types of fields? Like what should I look like if I'm in the massage field?
Well, it's not what you should look like, but it's you have to measure some of these traits, and so it's hard to tell because the one key trait is not always easy to see. One has to measure it, and that's the oval head. We look at our faces, and we think, oh, yeah, we've got an oval head, and I might measure it and say, no, this is a square head. The people with oval features will often stay, you often see them in the medical field, and typically... excuse me, they will have slightly rounded forehead, which means they love to work with people. We look for about 10 different traits to match up for any specific career. And I look for 91% and higher accuracy for career matching. And we did actually some studies with a counselor comparing the system I use, or we developed, with Myers-Briggs, DISC, and many of the psychometric tests. And based on the feedback from the subject study, they said that what I offered was actually a better match and gave a lot more information. Now, it's not saying that those tests can't work. They do for some, but for many, they're not. Another trait we often see, the narrow face. A narrow-faced person builds their confidence through knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Once they know what they're doing, they're often running. But when they get into new situations, they can become very hesitant or very anxious and think, oh, my gosh, can I do this? But it's lack of information or lack of experience. And I say to them, look, everybody with this trait experiences just what you do. Whereas a wide-faced person says, oh, I could do that. Not a problem. What's wrong with you? They fake it till they make it. And they love it. They love a challenge.
Uh-huh,
and I remember working with this woman. She lived in England. She sent me her photograph. And she shared with me she hadn't driven in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the photograph, and sure enough, she had very close eyes, so tend to get very anxious, and a few other traits. And as she'd been working with psychologists and counselors, try to get herself driving again. So I said to her, okay, everybody with this trait goes you're going through. They experience the same. It's how you were wired. It's how you came into this world. Your parents had these traits. Your grandparents. It's not something you developed over time. It's in your blueprint the time you're born. So I suggested to her that when she wants to drive, get a book on tape, put it in the car, and start driving. She did just that, and she drove from London to Wales nonstop and hasn't stopped driving since then.
Wow.
I went to the Y and gave her some ideas on how to work with that.
Nice.
And so, Karen?
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment because we don't have a lot of time left. We have 10 minutes left. I would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find you and how, and if you're going to be giving any classes or at any events in the near future.
Well, I am giving a talk next week, Tuesday, at the Finley Center in Santa Rosa. It's at what time is it? I think it's in the morning, is it? No, it's in the evening at 5 o'clock. or 6 mm-hmm. o'clock. Anyway, if they email me at Naomi Tickle, without the E on the end of Tickle, N-A-O-M-I-T-I-C-K-L, I can give them some more information. That's at Finley Center in Santa Rosa. Just a $5 donation goes towards the rent of the room. They can go to my website to learn more. There's my video on my website. It's www.naomitickle.com. That's N-A-O-M-I-T-I-C-K-L-E.com. And I also have a book.
Uh-huh.
If I'm also including the book today. If you people purchase the book directly from me, from my website, or they can call me, and I have them here in my office, and then I will give a free personality assessment with the purchase of the book.
Oh, lovely. And is that a special offer just for my listeners?
Yes.
Super, super. They may listen from the archives later, so can they still call you maybe for the next week or so in order to
Absolutely.
Take advantage of that offer? Super, super. That would be great. Thank you so much for offering that to my listeners. And so you're doing that on Tuesday, and when is your next event or class after that?
Well, most of my workshops are actually, that's the only one I'm giving right now, because most of my workshops are given at companies. And they can always, as I say, people can always email me and find out when I'm giving the next talks locally. I do plan to set up in, come September, some workshops here in Petaluma. Those dates are yet to be decided upon. I'm going to be giving 1.5-hour workshops at the work in Petaluma, which is on Kentucky Street. And so we'll be giving those on the weekend.
Okay, then. Excellent. Was there anything, did you have any last message in a nutshell for my listeners that you
Well,
really
what
like
I say to people
know?
Is, I know there's skeptics out there. I was one too. But
mm-hmm.
test it out. Discover.
Right.
And observe, and faces will never look the same again. You'll be find yourself in the store or in the bank or the post office, and you start to see faces for the first time. So we're not judging, we're not discriminating, we are understanding what makes people tick and why, which is the title of my book, but it also gives us some instant information on how to better understand each other. And it's so important, not only to find the right career path in life, but to build successful relationships. I see too many families today breaking up, and it's sad for the children, it's sad for the couple. I believe that if some more people would have this assessment made, it would smooth out a lot of the rough spots and help people get back on their path in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And is there anything else that I did not ask you that you would have had me ask you?
I don't think there is. You know, this is, I say, it's been well researched. They did tests. They did the Jones and Whiteside years ago. They were invited into the freshman Air Force to see if by using the system they could determine who would stay the course. And they got a 97% accuracy. And they even mm-hmm. indicated the type of aircraft they fly. And I found this to be true because I talked to somebody a couple of years ago who had, his father had gone through this study, and he didn't realize I knew about this. So, again, it validated what had happened. And instantly, there's no trait, absolutely no trait that indicates crime. People are trying to make a connection there. There isn't one. We all have choice. I remember in Petaluma, when I was going down the steps that join the streets, and there was these little boys on their, 8 and 12-year-olds, going down the steps, and the youngest one crashed at the bottom. And I said to him, let me see your hands. No, let me see your hands. No. So his friend said, show the lady your hands. And sure enough, he had the risk-taking trait. The ring finger was longer than the index finger. And I said, oh, you like to take risks? He said, yes, I love it. Now, he was channeling it in the right direction. And all his friends had the same trait. And then they see this man coming up the steps, and they all run up to him and said, excuse me, sir, can we see your hands? So I told him what to do, and they said to him, oh, you're not a risk taker. He said, you got that right.
So
funny. We all have traits that are more challenging, but it's what we do about them that makes a difference. And when you channel these traits in the right direction, it can make a significant difference. And also to foster kids, I believe this would significantly help foster children and their parents to better understand each other and give them a start in life. Because as I understand it, 65% of the inmates are from foster homes.
Hmm. Wow.
And I just spoke to someone the other day whose husband is a parole officer, and she said, no, it's higher than that. So they leave home, chucked out of home. What do? Join gangs and what have you. They're lost in life. What if they had this, even if it helped 10% of them? Look at the difference it would make. In college, how many people drop out? A huge number of people drop out because they can't seem to find what ignites their passion. I believe that even if this could only help a few percent, it keeps the colleges do better. They stay there longer in college and finish their degree, and it gives them a start in life.
Absolutely.
So there's so many areas we can, you know, it can help people in sales and marketing, just name it, teachers.
Right. Absolutely. That would be so great if everyone would take your classes or your workshops. And we have about 2 minutes left, so I'd like to give you a chance to say goodbye to our listeners. Listeners, you've been listening to 100 People You Should Know radio show with me, Suzanne Hirsch, and Naomi Tickle, and she does facial recognition. Do you have a business name for yourself, Naomi?
It's naomitickle.com. I mean, that's my website. I just use my name.
Okay.
I mean, there's only one other Naomi Tickle in the world, so... And she lives in Australia.
Can you give out your phone number again where you can be reached?
It's 707-769-0290. And Susan, for inviting me to be on your show today. And if any of the listeners have any questions, just email me and I'll get right back to you.
It was an honor having you. Thanks so much, Naomi. I'm going to let you go now.
Okay, thanks.
Oops, I cut her off again. I'm always cutting people off there at the end. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your week, considering that this is probably the last week of your school year for your kids if you're in the old Adobe district. And good luck with that. Have a lot of fun with it and have a wonderful summer vacation. I will be here until I'm not, and I'll let you know when I'm not going to be here. You've been listening to 100 People You Should Know radio show. My name's Sue Hirsch, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye-bye now.